You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
We all have to deal with some stress in our lives, but then add MI6, the CIA, espionage, the conflict in the Middle East, and paranoia to the mix. Some of the things Nessa Stein, the title character in Sundance TV's miniseries The Honorable Woman, has to deal with. It's written, produced, and directed by Hugo Blick and stars Maggie Gyllenhaal as Nessa Stein, an Anglo-Israeli businesswoman who is pushing for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. The Honorable Woman premieres this coming Thursday, just a couple of days from now at 10 p.m. on the Sundance Channel. And I'm very happy to welcome Maggie Gyllenhaal to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Nessa Stein is a rather complex heroine. Is it fair to say that? Can you describe who she is?
She's the daughter of a Zionist Israeli gunrunner who was killed in front of her when she was a little girl. And when she grows up and inherits his company, which is very successful, she's a billionaire, she subverts what he was doing and works towards reconciliation between Israel and Palestine. And I think she's, it's called The Honorable Woman. I think it would be fair to put a question mark after that. You know, I think she's a complicated person. I think she is trying to do good, and I think she's struggling with what she inherited from her past.
Her life of privilege has been described as a double-edged sword, a kind of a prison.
I think it's not just the privilege. I think it's in general what she comes from.
Well, watching her father assassinated in a restaurant as how old was she at the time?
She was seven maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think right. I mean, even just to bring that up, you have to say that the context for all of this is it's Greek. You know, I mean, like the as you say, it's a little bit heightened from what we're dealing with every day. But at the same time, I think she's a woman that in a lot of ways I can relate to. She is intelligent and graceful and uncompromising in those ways, but she's also scared and weak and confused and childish in the way that I think most people are.
A lot of contradictory characters here. Don't even the names of many of the characters have double meanings? Nessa means miracle. Another character's name means divider or distributor. Hmm. Do you think that Hugo Blick was kind of sending out a secret message to certain viewers?
Maybe. I mean, I think Hugo has the kind of mind that it's difficult for me to even begin to understand, you know, that he might add in these sort of meanings and characters' names that I had sort of no idea about.
You didn't even know your character's name meant miracle.
The only reason I knew that was because really early on, he called me before we'd started shooting or anything and asked me if we should change her name to Esther. And I don't know why. I just said, absolutely no. You know, she should be Nessa. And then he said to me after that it meant miracle.
Mm-hmm. Well, he wrote, directs, and produces this.
Yeah.
There aren't too many people who do that anymore, especially when they're making something that goes 8 hours. Did he give you a complete script when you were first offered the role?
He did, which I think is pretty unusual in television. Usually when you're working in such a long form, I think they give you a pilot script, and then often you even are starting to shoot while they're giving you other episodes, which I don't know how people do that.
I once spoke to a well-known character actor, and he said that in the show where he played an alien, he asked the director, was he a good alien or a bad alien? The director said, I don't know. You have to ask so-and-so who's directing the next episode. And the other guy said, well, I don't know yet. It hasn't been resolved. So he said he played it straight down the middle.
Well, there's probably some kind of freedom in that. But at least at this point in my life, I really prefer having some sense of what's going on. And also somebody that you can trust, you know, which is actually interesting because so much of this piece in itself is about trust. So to be able to make a relationship with a director, a collaborator, you know, actually became pretty important.
Well, this is the first time you've ever worked in something this long. This is a major commitment, isn't it? And on top of it all, you had to come up with a very credible British accent. Was that hard?
The British accent was actually really a pleasure. I like talking like that, and I sort of secretly wish I could talk like that all the time, you know. And I'd had a lot of practice. I'd done it in a lot of other things. This is better than it ever had been before, the accent. But, you know, and the scope, yeah, I mean, also I had never worked on anything this long, and it did deepen it.
Is the fact that Nessa is both a public and a private person, is that something that resonates with you? Because obviously that's something you have to contend with in your own life.
Yeah, it does. I'm just thinking of this one tiny little scene early on in episode one where she walks through a red carpet and feeling as I was doing it like it was something I really could relate to. But in a bigger way, I mean, that's like only somewhat interesting, you know, in a bigger way, I think the idea of performing yourself, whether you're an actress or not, I think is something that most human beings can relate to. And I think what you're watching in the series is someone who kind of can't keep it up anymore.
Because the pressures have just gotten too much. And on top of it all, she's constantly discovering how there have been secrets kept from her. We don't want to do spoilers, but there are a lot of secrets that she wishes she had known about before she had proceeded.
And secrets of her own that she's keeping. I mean, but even bigger than that, I think what you're watching is someone who for the first time in her life is like getting in the river. You know, I think you're watching someone who for most of her life thought she had to be this remarkable, extraordinary, incredible, powerful woman. And, you know, halfway through the first episode, it starts exploding in her face.
You're also in a new film called Frank, in which you play a very different, rather nasty woman. You've been quoted as saying that you have a predilection for slightly transgressive parts like Lee Holloway and Secretary. Did your character in Frank satisfy you in that way? Or did you find it a relief after? Or were you working on it at the same time? Because it was shot partly
in Ireland,
which is just across the straits from England, where you were doing much of this film.
No, I did Frank first. I think I did them both in the same year. Clara is really different than Nessa. Clara's the character in Frank. I don't think she's mean. I know that's what they wanted.
I think
she's heartbroken. I think she's just, it's like, I wish she would, she wishes she could make a connection with someone who's wearing a big papier-mâché head, literally, in the entire movie. And so I think she's disappointed most of the time. And sometimes that can make people mean.
In Nessa's case, she's caught between two national identities. She's neither completely Israeli nor British. So there are all sorts of other things that are pulling her. And people are constantly demanding that she be loyal to one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it all, there's the whole matter of the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians, mm-hmm. and the British connection to all of that. And then many people have noted, of course, that this is premiering here just at a time when terrible conflict has broken out in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Did you shoot any of this in Gaza?
No, we shot Morocco for Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Although Lubna, the actress who played Attica, has shot in Gaza, and she was one of the only people who on our crew who had been there. Obviously, when we made it, it was a quieter time, but I think you'd have to have your head in the sand not to know that at any moment it could become volatile again. I think that at this moment in this country, it feels to me like there's not a lot of space to talk about what's happening over there. And I hope that this show that's on for 1 hour each week can maybe be an opening, a piece of art that allows people to think and to feel about it.
I'm talking with Maggie Gyllenhaal, who stars in The Honorable Woman, which is a BBC and Sundance TV production. It premieres this Thursday here at 10 o'clock on the Sundance Channel. But it's already, much of it has been shown in Britain.
4 episodes, yeah.
So what has been the response there in the light of what's going on? Has any commentary been tried to relate the two things?
It's funny. It's been, as far as I can tell, surprisingly unpolitical, the response so far, which is, you know, the last week's episode takes place in Gaza. You've seen 7 episodes, you said, so the 4th episode, you know, takes
place. I've seen all but the last one, so I don't know how it comes out.
Right. So.
But I know there are a lot of surprises which we cannot talk about because this is one of those things where no matter what you say, there's a possible spoiler.
Right. And at the same time, I will say secrets, not secrets. I mean, yes, of course, that's one element of it. But there, you know, there's a whole lot else going on also. But anyway, I was surprised by the lack of a political response, especially since the last episode did take place in Gaza. I think it's fair to say that we really don't have a position as a piece. We are laying out aspects of the conflict, and I think we're really asking the audience to think about it for themselves and to feel about it for themselves.
I know as a broadcaster, it's very difficult to try to keep a total balance because no matter what you say, one side or the other, then here's a bias.
Right.
But this has done it rather well.
Well, I think you have to think
because you give to both sides. You give positive and negative to both sides.
Right. And I think there will be moments as you're watching it that people will think, uh-oh, they're veering too far in this direction or in that direction. But I do think that intention and motivation is important. You know, basically, I was trying to create a character who could speak to both sides.
In the first episode, your character says, "With all the secrets we keep, it's a wonder we trust it all." Mm-hmm. And that could be seen as almost the theme of this story here.
Well, yes, but you know what I've been talking about this for a couple of days, you know, another theme, I think, is that communication, which is really what Nessa's work is where it's at. So it's this complicated thing of do I trust versus can I connect? Which, in my opinion, at least so far in my life, is basically what you're living in all the time, you know. And I think it's true in terms of your place in the world and also in terms of tiny human relations.
Is this a special time for you and your family? Well, this is opening. We mentioned Frank, which will be opening soon here. And then your husband is in a new film called Very Good Girls, which was directed by your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking over New York movies and television?
Well, I would think my husband, who is listening live, I think, right now, you know, he's in Very Good Girls for just a second, and he really, he did it for my mama, who asked him to. But I do feel proud that my mom and I both have these pieces that we worked really hard to make that mean something to us coming out in the same week.
Mm-hmm. She's been a screenwriter until now. Your father's a director as well.
Yeah. I think my mom always wanted to direct, although I think she kept it so secret that I didn't even know that until now.
Well, pretty much every actor I've spoken to says somewhere down the line, well, I really want to direct. So what about you?
You know, it's so interesting. I all my life have said, I don't want to direct. I don't want to write. I want to work with an excellent director. I want to work with an extraordinary writer. And I just want to act. And lately, I've just been feeling like it's hard to put your own body and your own heart out there to tell these stories. And I see the appeal in conceiving of the story and letting other people act it out. But that's a baby thought. And
Well, to some degree, every actor is also a writer because you are, on the one hand, you're doing delivering the lines that somebody has written for you, but you're also inventing that character within yourself, aren't you? That's why we can see the same play and the character will come across quite differently depending on who's acting the part.
Absolutely. And I think if you're working with a really excellent director, then what they're looking for is your own personal expression and movement through something as opposed to some fantasy they had of how it was going to be played.
And how is Hugo Blick as a director? Did he encourage you to find everything you could in this character?
Yeah, I've never had a more exciting collaboration with any director.
Just one more thing. Anessa has been called one of the best-dressed heroines on television. And how does wardrobe help inform a character? I'm thinking about something you told in an interview. You said, the clothing is always your way in.
Yeah, I read that. I'm not sure I said that. The clothing is
sometimes... Can't trust anything you read in the papers.
Sometimes my way in. In this case, I went to London 2 weeks early, actually, because I showed up on the set of Frank in Ireland with my two kids, like, 2 days before we started shooting, and both the kids were sick, and everyone was jet-lagged, so I thought, okay, I'm going to give myself time before we start in London. And I thought Hugo would want to rehearse, which he didn't. And so I spent most of the 2 weeks with the costume designer. And in this case, it was interesting because I think Nessa is this billionairess. Do you say that? Billionairess. Mm-hmm. And she should be able to have access to whatever she wants to wear. And I think her clothes should be sexy and powerful and effective in helping her to achieve the things she wants to achieve. At the same time, well, we were making it for the BBC in Sundance and we had no money. So it was an interesting kind of, you know, we had to call in favors of, you know, can you, Stella McCartney, can you lend us a jacket for an afternoon? And, you know, the people who did, I'm forever indebted to, and I'll go to any fashion show or any party or whatever they want. But the other thing to say is that it's true that the sort of, there's been a lot of focus put on her clothes in London. And I think it's because they're only up to episode 4, because mm-hmm. the importance of that really does start to break down. It isn't a study in style. It's I think, really more a study in a breaking down of that.
You said that you didn't do any rehearsal. You've done a lot of theater.
Yeah.
So rehearsal, of course, is something you rely on. Is there something exciting or scary about jumping in and just doing the thing as you're shooting it, especially when there's a tight budget and you can't do a lot of retakes?
Well, I think if you're working in film, and I think it totally applies to television even more so, you have to figure out a way to get your own self ready, because there's a lot of time when there isn't space for rehearsal. It's fine with me not to rehearse, but I have to say I was surprised that he didn't want to rehearse at all in this 8-hour piece. But it was because, well, I don't know why, but in the end, he was like an observer. You know, he really let me go in. I mean, I guess the way to put it is, really excellent writing can be played many, many ways. Writing that's not so good, you're like, okay, I better jump from here to here perfectly in order to make this scene make sense.
I gotta save this.
But when it's excellent, you're free to explore. And he really let me explore.
I'm assuming that a lot of this was shot out of sequence, simply because when you were in Morocco, you had to shoot everything that took place
right.
in the Middle East. And when you were in London, you had to shoot everything that's in London. Does that get confusing when you're doing an 8-hour thing, even though you obviously are not on screen every minute?
Yeah, actually, it was unusual in that we cross-boarded all of it, which means that in one day you might be shooting pieces of episode 1, episode 5, episode 8. I mean, I'd never done anything like that. So it was like one massive movie. But what that did, I think, is, you know, we're all so used to watching 2-hour films. We're also used to the rhythm in that, so that maybe 2/3 of the way through, your heroine will show you her heart finally and cry a little, or your antagonist and your protagonist will meet. Things you can expect that you come to rely on in the storytelling. But I'm always kind of trying to get away from that rhythm, even in a 2-hour piece, into something more human. But when it's 8 hours, you can't possibly keep it organized that way. I mean, maybe you can if you have like a dry erase board and you spend all your time with like sticky notes in your trailer, but that sounds like that seems like a drag. So instead, I think what came out of that shooting out of order was a kind of more unconscious, wild, maybe more human expression, I think, for everybody involved.
Wonderful cast has joined you. Some people whose names our audience will recognize: Stephen Ray, Janet McTeer. But Maggie Gyllenhaal is the honorable woman, and a name that she suggests could have a question mark at the end of it. The series premieres this coming Thursday at 10 p.m. on the Sundance Channel. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.